looking out for you. For starters, your brain is always on the lookout for potential dangers or losses, which is why news programs typically start their shows with the latest murder or disaster. As they say in journalism, if it bleeds, it leads. Over the course of evolution, animals that were nervous, driven, and clinging were more likely to pass on their genes, and these inclinations are now woven into our DNA. Even when you feel relaxed and happy and connected, your brain keeps scanning for potential dangers, disappointments, and interpersonal issues. Consequently, in the back of your mind, there's usually a subtle but noticeable sense of unease, dissatisfaction, and separation to motivate this vigilance. Then, when the least little thing goes wrong or could be trouble, the brain zooms in on it with a kind of tunnel vision that downplays everything else. If your boss gives you an excellent performance review that contains just one piece of critical feedback in a bucket of praise, you'll likely focus on that one negative comment. Negative stimuli are perceived more rapidly and easily than positive stimuli. We recognize angry faces more quickly than happy ones. In fact, the brain will react even without your conscious awareness when another person's face is angry. The power of pain. Bad, painful, upsetting experiences routinely overpower good, pleasurable, comforting ones. The psychologist Daniel Kahneman received a Nobel Prize in economics for showing that most of us will do more to avert a loss than to acquire an equivalent gain. Lasting, intimate relationships usually need at least 5 positive interactions to balance every negative one. People really begin to thrive when positive moments outnumber negative ones by at least a 3-to-1 ratio, and ideally higher. Negative contaminates positive more than positive purifies negative. For example, a misdeed will harm a hero's reputation more than a good deed will improve a villain's. The extra impact of the bad on your mind is based on its extra power in your brain, which responds more intensely to unpleasant things than to equally intense pleasant ones. In the middle of your head, the central circuit of overreactivity has 3 parts to it: the amygdala, the hypothalamus, and the hippocampus. The almond-sized amygdala does respond to positive events and feelings, but in most people, it is activated more by negative ones. Think about a time that someone, perhaps your parent, partner, or a coworker, got angry with you and you felt anxious about it. The other person's anger activated your amygdala, somewhat like a charging lion would have 1 million years ago. To begin a fight or flight response, your amygdala sent alarm signals to your hypothalamus and to sympathetic nervous system control centers in your brainstem. Your hypothalamus sent out an urgent call for adrenaline, cortisol, norepinephrine, and other stress hormones. Now your heart was beating faster, your thoughts were speeding up, and you started feeling rattled or upset. Your hippocampus formed an initial neural trace of the experience, what happened, who said what, and how you felt, and then guided its consolidation in cortical memory networks so you could learn from it later. Connected by the neural equivalent of a 4-lane superhighway, your activated amygdala commanded your hippocampus to prioritize this stressful experience for storage, even marking new baby neurons to be, in effect, forever fearful. Vicious circles. Over time, negative experiences make the amygdala even more sensitive to the negative. This snowballing effect occurs because the cortisol that the amygdala signals the hypothalamus to call for enters the bloodstream and flows into your brain, where it stimulates and strengthens the amygdala. Now the alarm bell of your brain rings more easily and more loudly. Making matters worse, even after the danger is passed or turns out to be a false alarm, it takes many minutes to metabolize cortisol out of your body. For example, you may have had a close call while driving and still felt revved up and shaken 20 minutes later. In the meantime, in a 1-2 punch, the cortisol in your brain overstimulates, weakens, and eventually kills cells in your hippocampus, gradually shrinking it. This is a problem because the hippocampus helps you put things in perspective while also calming down your amygdala and telling your hypothalamus to quit calling for stress hormones. So now it's harder to put the one thing going wrong in the context of the many things going right, plus harder to settle down a runaway amygdala and hypothalamus. Consequently, feeling stressed, worried, irritated, or hurt today makes you more vulnerable to feeling stressed, etc. tomorrow, which makes you really vulnerable the day after that. Negativity leads to more negativity in a very vicious circle.